Today, be strong in the Lord. We want to talk about the strength that God has given to His people, the strength that we need to continue in the work of the Lord, and the strength that we are going to need in the days which lie ahead. As history continues to unfold and come to a conclusion, the latter days are going to be more dramatic, there are certain times in history when it seems like everyone realizes they're critical. These last days will be critical. And we are entering into a season or a time in which we are entering into the last of the last. And therefore, what we have believed but not yet experienced, we suddenly will experience. I don't believe it'll happen for a while. I believe things will go along rather smoothly for a while. And then suddenly, things are going to intensify at such a rapid rate. And people will be thrown back on either their strength or their weakness. And so it's time now to strengthen ourselves in the strength of the Lord and to prepare ourselves not only for our daily walk, but for that which is to come. And prophetically, the scriptures tell us that there is this hour, this storm, these things that are coming on the world, and that's the greatest time for the church, I want you to know. It's not a time to escape and get away. It's a time that, in fact, we want to be prepared because God is about to do His greatest work. You see, the light shines brightest when it's darkest. You know, when it's bright out and the sun is coming in and so on, the lights don't make much sense. But those same lights, suddenly when it becomes dark, become extremely bright and people are drawn to them and people begin to walk in that light. And so I tell you that a day is coming very soon, and that day we need to be prepared for. But before that time, you must strengthen yourself. You must be strong in the Lord. So we want to today lift up the Word of God and lift up the Lord, because the Holy Spirit, who is our strength, the Holy Spirit wants to magnify Jesus in our midst today. You know, that's the whole point of the Bible, is not to tell us true things. The point of the Bible is to reveal Him who is the truth to our hearts, that we might have a living revelation of the living God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You this day that You have granted unto us to know the mystery of God, to know the secret things that belong to God, that we, Your people, might be known, that it might be obvious to this world that You make a difference between those who have believed You and have come to You and have received the things of God and those who do not. Lord, not for judgment, but for hope. Not, Lord God, for punishment, but for salvation, that the world might believe that Thou art the living God, a good God, a great God, a God who has prepared His people and who are calling all men to a knowledge of Jesus Christ before the day of salvation, before the day of grace is ended. And we just give You praise, Lord God, that we live in times in which the truth of God is made more and more evident as the day of the Lord draws near. And we promise to give You all the praise, and all the people said,
amen.
Let's look at Ephesians, the third chapter, chapter 3. For this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. For this cause, Paul said, I am a prisoner. Paul saw that everything that happened in his life was for a good cause. Everything that happens in our lives is for a good cause. There is no such possibility, it does not exist, that we would ever come into a situation which would be harmful to us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In every situation, in all things, when you can't pay your bills, when things seem to be going wrong, when rockets that go up don't finish, whatever happens in our life, God has a plan, a purpose to bring good out of everything, or He ceases to be God. God will not allow us to view Him as an evil God. God is busy continually, constantly, actively seeking to reveal Himself as who He really is. Now you see, His Word tells us that He's good, but people don't believe that. There are two reasons why they don't. One, experience. Two, religious tradition. Religious tradition and experience tell us that God is okay, but not that good. But I tell you, the Word of God tells us and is clear and without ambiguity that God is good and He's great and He's wonderful and there is no other word. Now, you cannot know that by experience. You can only know that by faith in that word, and then you begin to experience that. But in this life, there are troubles and trials which would tell us, well, maybe God isn't so good after all. And it's at that time that you need strength to endure and to say, no, the Word of God is my strength, the Spirit of God that dwells within me, quickening that word to me, quickening the Lord, He is my strength. I will endure and I will rejoice in the midst of this situation, though it seemed dark, though it seemed like it's not really going the way I want it. You know, in America, I don't know if this is true anywhere else in the world, in America, we're so accustomed to instant pudding and instant everything, instant success, that we really find difficulty when somehow God doesn't seem to come through. And we don't know what to do at those times because here we've got His Word that has all these great promises, these overwhelming promises. They're all in the extreme. There's not one of them that says, most of the time God will help you. They all say, He always leads us in triumph. They all say, God is entirely good. They all are extravagant in the extreme to tell how great God is, His exceeding greatness, His exceeding abundance of His love toward us and so on. And yet in experience we find, and it becomes frustrating to us Americans because we feel like, well, why didn't God heal my dad? You know, Pastor gave such a fine message a couple weeks ago about that God hears the cry of the righteous and God always answers yea and all His promises are yea and amen. And then things go wrong. Things don't come out quite the way we thought they were going to come out according to those great promises. What do you do then? What do we say then of God? And so the temptation is to lose your faith, to lose your joy, to lose your confidence, and to give up, and we lose our strength. Our strength dissipates, and we become discouraged. We want to quit. Now, that's what the enemy wants us to do. But instead, you remember David, when he had committed adultery and murder and every other sin in the book. And he said to God, God, I'm sorry that I did that. Now, don't punish me by letting this son that I am birthing die. Please don't do that. Just blame me for this. It's all my own fault. Now I tell you, God, I turn to you with all my heart. I'm sorry. You've got great promises in there. There's no reason why you won't answer this. And he sought God with all his heart. He fasted. He wept before God. He went into the temple and laid before the Lord and did everything that a godly man could do. And there's plenty of promises that would not only allow David to do that, but encourage him to do that. But in the end, his son died. And you know what David's response was? Instead of saying, I don't know, where did I go wrong? I thought I had some strong scriptures there. I felt even the rhema of God saying, do it, and that's why I did it. And I can't understand. David didn't do that. You know what David said? He just got up and blessed the Lord. It was over with. He washed his face. He put on his festive clothes, went and had a banquet. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Because you feel like, God, you've got to come through because we've got your promises. We have your word here. And we feel like we're going to get discouraged if you don't do it. I tell you, with God, you don't always understand everything that He's doing. But I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God is true. It never changes. It's true no matter what I think about it. It's true no matter what I feel about it. It's true no matter how I think I interpreted it. It's still true. And it's altogether true. And God has not changed. And God will come through. Even though we don't have our theologies together, our theologies are sometimes battered deeply, but I'll tell you, this theology holds true, that he who endureth to the end will not be ashamed, that he who hopes in God will not be disappointed. You see, hope, listen to this, hope is different than faith. Hope is yet in the future. Hope is before us. Hope is kind of an anchor for my faith to grab onto and try to get as much of the hope into the present as I can. As much of the promises that God has made, I cannot experience all of them now. That's my hope. In other words, that's something in the future, the whole picture. But faith grabs as much of that hope and pulls it down into the present as it can. There are conditions for faith, isn't it? There are conditions. And so I'm encouraged while I'm working out my faith, while I'm strengthening myself in faith, to believe that my hope will not disappoint me. Finally, my hope will not disappoint me. Now that I don't see in this life. I don't see my hope. Hope which is seen would no longer be hope. It's not something that I see. But faith is actually substance to me. When I believe a thing, I believe it like substance. It's something already accomplished. It's not hope. It's not in the future. And so God has put before us a tremendous picture, a joyous, exciting, wonderful picture, and we keep bringing that into the present as much as we can by our faith. Hello. There's no end. We don't know the limits, but we do know this, that hope finally is always larger than faith. Faith will come to an end. Can you say amen? Someday, our faith will actually end. We want to welcome those who are listening on radio this morning and also those who are watching on the video. Some are watching at evening time, so maybe it's evening. Good evening. We want to bring you the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord today is that God wants to strengthen you with strength in the inner man so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and you may be able to endure when times of trial and testing come, when you don't have full understanding, when what seems to be not working out, yet you know it is, but somehow it doesn't seem to be, and you have no word to say to anyone. You just simply declare that God is good and I know it's working out, and you endure. Now here's the temptation. When you come into a situation and it does not seem like things are going the way you thought they ought to go, the temptation is to quit. The temptation is to give up. The temptation is to resign oneself. I'll tell you, faith is not passive resignation so that we quit and just give up and just cease. I was tempted in these last couple of weeks just to quit, just to give up, just to say, well, I guess I just don't know what I'm doing. I guess I don't know the Word of God. I guess I misread it. In fact, I got angry at God. That's not faith. I complained. I yelled. I said, this book, you got all these promises in here. Where are they? Why don't they work? Now, where did I go wrong? I didn't go wrong. All the promises, you know. And I began to argue at God. Now, this wasn't because I was thinking intelligently. It was my emotions just streaming out and my theology, my religious tradition, telling me that God wasn't coming through. Hello. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it's a temptation that we want to no longer endure. We want to just give up, quit, resign ourselves, either get angry or just quit altogether. Say, well, you know, I'm never going to say again God is good. You know, that's a temptation. I'm just not going to ever brag on God again. I'm just not going to boast on the guy because he never comes through the way I want him to come through. And even though we know that's bad theology, yet our emotions tell us, you know, he ought to be a little more dependable. You know, he ought to stick to his word better. Has that ever occurred to you? There are times when it seems like God, you know, I mean, I've got a picture in my mind of what David did, and I think I'm doing the same thing David did, and somehow it doesn't work out the same way David did it. The problem with that is you got to read that there are many stories about David. And David found that even when David did what David used to do, it didn't always work out the same way in the next time. Did you ever find that out? God doesn't repeat himself all the time. His character is ever the same. His ways are ever the same. But his method, his timing, is always changing. His method and his timing, you cannot put in a box. So we know that God is good, and we know that God heals, we know that God saves, we know that God does all these things, but exactly how and when and the conditions and so on, they change, and there's a demand upon us to be strong so that we're able to endure and that we're able to retain our joy. And my mom, all during the last week or so when I was with her, my mom never lost her joy. She would wake up in the middle of the night, and she would cry, and she would get into the Word. I would hear her getting up at 3 or whatever. And then by the morning, I wouldn't know, well, maybe she's going to be down or something. But she'd be singing and joyous and so on. So she had wrestled the thing out in the midst of the night. In other words, it would sort of come to her and attack her, and I would hear her cry out, sometimes in the bedroom, sometimes she'd be out in the dining room or whatever. But my mom's, the strength of her life was so amazing. All 4 doctors that were on one of the teams wrote her, I don't know if doctors do this often, but they wrote her letters thanking her for her courage and her faith, and saying that their prayers were with her. They said that her prayers strengthened them. I couldn't believe this as I was reading these supposedly worldly doctors. They all knew that my and the pastors of her church and the people, I imagine there was at least 100 people came up to me. There's a very large church there that she's part of, and said, "Your mom is the happiest person I know. Your mom is the most loving person I know. Your mom, you know," and they just kept boasting, and mom is a new Christian, relatively new, let's say 8 years or something. I don't know if you consider that new. I do. Relatively new. She's just coming into all these things after 58 years or so, or whatever it was, of not knowing the Lord, and then knowing the Lord suddenly. She's just beaming and growing because her strength is in the Lord. You know, she would say to me continually, "Jim, I don't know how I'm doing this, but it's the power of God. I don't know why I'm happy, because I thought I would fall apart because I always used to, but it's the power of God. I've been learning in the last few years, Jim, how to endure, how to be strong." Mom and I fought. I remember before Dad died, we fought believing clearly. Mom said to me, "I never doubted to the last second that Dad would live. I was certain, I was positive that he would live. And even if they'd have said he was dead, I would have believed he would have come back from the dead. I was so certain, Jim." But the minute he died, the minute that he was gone, and I knew he was not coming back, I began to sing, and she sang for a half an hour, holding his hand, and sang him into eternity, and she just completely let it go. And she had wept, she had fought, she had wrestled, and now it was over with. And like David, she washed her face and got up and rejoiced. And you know, it was amazing for me to watch it. And at her funeral, she got up and sang "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." And you know, it was the most anointed singing. I'm sure it had a lot to do with the fact that she was my mother, and the fact that, you know, I knew the whole background. Nonetheless, to me, I can't imagine ever doing that. I was weeping. I couldn't do that. But Mom, just strong with strength, just sang out this thing. This is the strength of God. I know that my mom was the most timid person. She was what you would call a classical recluse, which meant she never came out of the house. No, this is not a joke. For some 58 years that I knew her, or whatever the time was, my mother never spoke to her relatives or anything. She stayed at home and had problems galore. And when she came to the Lord, she had never danced, she had never laughed, you know. She was a very sad and sullen person, and you know, had just all kinds of physical ailments and everything else. But when she met the Lord, everything began to change, and it took her years. For 3 years, she cried. For 3 years, every time she'd go to a service, it would be communion or whatever the thing would be, or a baptism, she'd just weep and cry. And she felt so embarrassed, she felt so bad, she thought, "Lord, am I never going to overcome this? Am I never going to be strong? Because I don't even know why I'm crying, you know?" But just a cleansing was taking place, and a rejoicing was taking place, and guilt was just washing away as she was coming to be for the first time strong. My mom today is strong. She's able to strengthen others. She just runs up to people and grabs them by the face and kisses them on the mouth and goes up and hugs people. And she's up in the middle of the night dancing, and she's giving prophecies to people, and she's you know, singing in tongues all the time and constantly running around in the joy of the Lord. And here she is. She's never written a check. She knows nothing about what Dad had financially or anything else. She's never done a thing. She is completely helpless. And you know, I said, "Well, Mom, I'm going to have to teach you how to keep a checkbook and how to pay the bills." And she said, "I could never learn." And I said, you're going to have to learn, because you've got to put this together. And she said, "No, there's just no way." But she went and prayed about it. And she came back and said, "Okay, the Lord has told me that I could learn." And so within one day, she had completely mastered it. We went down to the banks and we got all the policies out, and you know, the first she looked at them, she just wept. She said, I can't read those. I don't know what they're saying. I've never even looked at a policy before. Dad took care of all those things. He didn't even want me to come near him. He didn't want me to touch him. He would spend hours there. And I said, "Well, Mom, you're going to learn all of this in one day. You know, you." And she did. And she was so proud of herself when she wrote that last check. She went through all the bills and everything, wrote all these checks and so on. She said, "We did it. You know, we did it." Meaning her and the Lord. She meant that the Lord was her strength. You see, in times of trial, in times of trouble, we need to know that there's someone with us who can overcome anything. I say, Mom, you know, Dad didn't leave any money at all. We don't even know, you know, we certainly can't pay $60,000 of the hospital bill and doctor bills. That was just the hospital, $60,000. And I just hope somehow it all works out. And she said, don't worry. She said, God has been my strength. I said, but Mom, you know, we don't have any insurance or anything. You know how? She said, don't worry, God is my strength. She says, I have friends. God is with me. Somehow it'll work out. I said, yeah, but Mom, we've got to pay these guys, you know, and so on. And she said, Jim, you know, look, I believe you. You're totally right. There's no question. But God is my strength. I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. I mean, this was not my mom, and my wife can tell you, for some 20 years that we were married, Mom did not know the Lord. There was no way that Mom would have that. This is the power of God. This is the strength of the Lord. This is the joy that the saints have while they're going through trials, while they're going through things that don't look right, and they're not losing that joy. They're not becoming inactive, quitting, dissipating, slowing down. They're continuing on. They're going on. They're getting up again. They're going on, and they don't stop. They don't quit, but they keep rejoicing and saying, somehow, I don't understand right now, but my faith tells me to stay strong, to keep going, and my hope will not disappoint me. Now, let's look at Ephesians. Paul was in prison. Everything was against Paul. He had no hope. Paul had a lot of scriptures. Paul had faith. Paul knew the Word of God. Paul knew that God always leads him in triumph, and here he is in prison. How can you call that triumph? Paul called that, oh, this must be another one of those leading me in triumph situations. You know, when Paul came to his death, it was another one of those leading me in triumph situations. Paul was not afraid. He rejoiced. He was excited. He knew that God was working out character in him. He knew that God was producing something positive in him. He wasn't just resigned to his situation. He wasn't just saying, okay, I give up. There's nothing I can do. I'm not God. I don't have any power. I don't know what to do. I don't understand it. So I'll just quit, you know, just let God just kind of take over. It wasn't that kind of faith. It was the kind of faith that said, Lord, here's your word. I don't exactly understand it, but I know that my hope is not going to disappoint me, and I rejoice that I'm going through this. I don't fully understand it, but my faith tells me keep loving, keep going, keep being obedient. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. I know God is working this thing out. It's the greatest thing that could have happened because God doesn't do second best. For this cause, I, Paul, verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye had heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've written to you before in a few words, whereby you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, I understand this thing. God has revealed it to me, which in other ages, past ages, was not made known unto the sons of men. It has never been made known before, but through Jesus now, and now unto me, Paul's saying, it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Paul's saying, no Old Testament saint ever grasped this thing fully. But we do in the New Testament. We don't grasp it partially. We fully understand the mystery of God. It's now been unveiled, revealed. There's no more mystery to God's purposes. Now listen, it's a powerful thing. What is that? That the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the goyim, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, Paul was saying that God is going to build his church out of two components, Jew, Gentile. That is natural Jews and natural everybody else's. Now, the Jews seem to have a monopoly, and Paul was saying God has no monopoly. He's saying this is a total enfranchisement of the entire world. The monopoly is over. The Jewish monopoly is over. As a matter of fact, it never began because God always used the Jew in order to be a light to the Gentile, and he didn't do it, and that's why he seemed to have a monopoly, but God didn't give him a monopoly. He just said, you Jews, share this now, share this now, share this now. Live before the Gentiles in such a way that they want God because it's for everybody. But the Jew said, I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to make dough out of this thing. Huh? You know, I'm going to keep this thing and exploit it, and I'm just going to keep it for us. And then we will not regard the goyim because they're like dogs, outsiders, uncircumcised, filthy, abominable. But we are the chosen of God. Now, that was a mistake that they made. as God tried to point out over and over through all the prophets, through all the saints, through all the priests and kings that were godly, that godliness is incumbent upon everyone and that no one has room to boast. No one has room to boast. Even in the Old Testament, there was no room for boasting except in the Lord. God kept saying to the people, don't you think it's by your power, your strength, your might? It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4. It's by my spirit. It's not by the strength of man. It's not by the fact that you were the most numerous nation. You were the least numerous nation. You were one of the most insignificant. In fact, I took Abraham out of idolatry and I brought him into the Canaanite land and I made a nation out of you. I brought you out of Egypt with a strong right hand. I did it. Glory to God. Not how great are the Jews. How great we are. No. God is saying, God alone, I am great. And there is no other strength. We have no strength inherent in ourselves. I tell you, before trouble comes, we feel strong. When there's no trouble, you don't need strength. You suddenly feel, you know, there isn't much I can't do, at least in my little area that I've defined for myself. But when you come to trouble, when you come to a trial, suddenly you feel like your strength dissipates. Today, half of you probably don't need any strength. You're feeling, well, here's a good message on strength, but I don't need any strength. I feel strong enough. That's good. Wait till next week. You'll need this message next week. Because we need constantly, continually to live by the strength of God. God did not build us in such a way. We are not manufactured. We are not created in such a way that we have inherent strength. We don't have any strength. Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is, even biologically, not only spiritually do we live, but even biologically, you only live because God speaks. And God said, and that setting, that speaking, creates worlds. And God breathed into his people, the pneuma, the spirit, the nefesh, the ruach, the breath. That's our life. We don't live except God breathes. Unless God speaks, unless God exhales, we don't live. Even biologically, this world, even the wicked, even the devil himself, is sustained by the breath of God. You say, I wish he'd stop breathing his way. But look at, that's part of the trial of your faith. Look, you don't need to worry about the devil if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You don't need to worry about the devil, just resist him. That's one of the joys of being a Christian, is to know that the world out there is full of evil. And the devil out there is full of power and might. But he can't use it toward us. No weapon fashioned against us shall prevail. You believe that? It's not, again, a matter of experience. It's a matter of the Word of God. Your experience only tells you partly that that's true. No one can say that a weapon has never gotten to me. We are continually bombarded by the enemy. But I tell you, I laugh. Because hope will not disappoint me. My faith tells me to keep laughing, to keep enduring, to keep going on, to get up again. I don't understand. I don't know why. Why didn't God do that? Why doesn't he do this? Why did he seemingly not give me strength there to overcome that? Because he's giving another kind of strength. That's that inner strength. Sometimes I don't have the outer strength to actually see someone healed or encouraged or something. Sometimes I don't understand. But you see, there is another kind of strength, that inner strength, which builds up the inner man. Let's look. Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, verse 6. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in other words, I'm a weakling, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now listen to what these riches are. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What is that mystery? Why did God create the world, in other words? Here's why. To put Jew and Gentile together. To bring men together in Christ. That's why he created the world. Some of the people will not come to him. There is no such thing that God will save everyone. God wants to save everyone, but God did not make puppets out of people. God will not force men to serve him. God will not make people go to heaven. You will go to heaven. You know, some people don't want to go. You say, oh, I don't believe that. You cannot imagine the evil of man that he could look squarely into the face of God's goodness and say, I don't want it. Hello? That shows you don't yet understand either man or God. It is possible to look at the glory of God and say, I reject it. This is the depth of sin. It is possible to look at something decent and good and kind and spit on it. This is the depth of sin. If you haven't experienced this, then you do not know the depth of sin in your own life. You do not know how wicked and wretched you yourself are. Hello. This is not too strong. This is the biblical truth. There is something deep inside of us that is wretched toward God, that is an abomination in the face of God. It's called the flesh. There is no such thing as nicer flesh. There is no such thing as decent flesh. There is no such thing as light in darkness. All the light in the world is God. All the goodness in the world is God. All glory to God. All glory to God. All glory to God. All glory to God. You see, if I have any strength, it's not my own. If I have any goodness, it's not my own. If there's anything decent in me, it's not my own. It comes wholly from God. This is a hard truth. It's the only truth that man cannot accept. But it is the one truth that you must accept. It is the basis of our salvation. It is the one thing that makes us righteous to admit that we're not in and of ourselves, but that it's wholly a gift of God. That's all God wants us to say. Look, I just want people that recognize the truth, that it's all a gift. I'm doing this for nothing, for no reason, for my own love's sake. I don't owe it to anyone. I don't owe it to you. What I owe to you is death. What I owe to you is cutting you off. But I choose not to, for my own name's sake. I've given my word to that effect, but I won't make anyone accept this. I won't force people to accept this, because then I'd go back on my own word, which said I made you in my image, which is free. You're free. Man said, well, I don't like that. I wish God would just make us go to heaven, like we make our children play the piano, you know. I wish he just would force me to do it. But you see, God will never reduce you to an automaton. He will never reduce you to a robot. You have the dignity of God inside of you. Even those who are fallen away yet preserve that freedom. And God will not take that away. So he comes and he woos and he yells and he does everything he can to try to bring man to a true knowledge of himself. But he will not overstep. He will not reduce man to just make him do something. He respects man's freedom. He gave it to him. He will not repent. He will not take it back. That's the burden of being a human, but it's also the glory. You see? And we must admit that we misused our freedom. We misused the glory of God, and we spent it away. But praise God, he had another word for us. Not the word of judgment, but he had the word of grace. That's the mystery, that God would bring us together. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, verse 9, verse 10, to the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, God is saying, I want to show my church to the world and to the spiritual world, that is the evil spiritual world, to the principalities and powers, not only the angels, but also to the demons themselves, who are controlling the heavens. You know, we picture the devils down in hell, but actually the Bible pictures them controlling the mid-heavens. And so Paul is saying here that Jesus Christ has made a public display of the fact that nobody stands over me or under me in any way that can harm me. And God has made a public display of my righteousness, of my vindication, of the vindication of the power of God to reach the Gentiles as well as the Jews, to bring them together and to stand against the enemy, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. A lot of people are going, oh, Paul, you're a man of God. What are you doing in prison? Couldn't you pray for an earthquake? Remember Peter? Don't you remember the Peter story? How they were praying? And don't you remember the time when you were in prison with Silas and you guys were singing hymns? Try that hymn singing thing again. You remember that? No, that's what I would do. Boy, if I got in prison, that's the first stories come to me. Oh, I know this, what's going to happen here. The manacles are going to fall off, and I'm going to walk away just like Peter, and an angel is going to lead me out. I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to sing these hymns, and the jailer's going to come. You know, that's the thoughts we have in our mind. What happens when that doesn't happen? Hello? You remember the story of a lot of the Vietnamese Americans who were in POW camps and so on. And they, a lot of them were Christians, and they came and they said, you know, well, we thought it might be a week or two or a month, or but we knew, you know, either America would save us or our God would deliver us sooner or later. But after, you know, 2 years, 6 years, five, you know, 7 years, some of the guys began to wonder if God was going to come through like they thought. Hello. And they began to realize they had to have that inner strength and that that outer thing wasn't going to happen, that God had some more glorious purpose that they couldn't understand. They had all these scriptures and all these truths and all these Sunday school lessons that they had learned, which they knew were true. They'd experienced them themselves. But somehow God didn't quite come through in that time, and that shakes up a lot of people. Now look, you need strength then. Don't ever be shaken up. God has not changed. His word has not changed. It's more glorious than ever you could imagine. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't say, oh no, I was hoping it wouldn't be one of these things. You know, this could take days, you know, or something like that. Jesus said to himself, this is the greatest feast that could possibly happen. Because if it isn't, God ceases to be God. So this must be better than getting off the cross. This has to be better than preaching today and winning all these people or whatever else. This has to be the best. Because it said that if a son asks his father for a fish, he won't get a stone. So I know I asked my father to deliver me. So I know I said, if this possible, let this cup pass from me, Father. And the father said, you know, it's not. You're going to drink this one. And so he went, wow, this one's going to even be greater than if the cup passed. This one's got to have more power, more potency, more joy than ever before, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, because his hope wouldn't disappoint him. His faith in that moment wasn't weak. It wasn't like he didn't have enough faith to get off the cross. He had all the faith in the world. But his faith had to be in the Word of God. And the Word of God in that moment was not get off, but stay on. Because I got something even better in mind than getting off. Hello. And I don't know why he took my dad. I didn't understand that. I thought, boy, what a testimony, God. What an opportunity here. You know, I mean, I had all thought out how this would really glorify God and, you know, so on. God didn't think the way I thought. God didn't read the same scriptures I read, you know, interpret them in the same way. Sovereignty of God. But yet, the temptation was then to give up, to quit. Now, I fell into all of them. Whatever it was, I did it. But then the Word of God kept working to say, no, no, this can't be. I know this can't be. Keep praying. Keep seeking me until you get back into praise, until you get back into encouragement, until you can encourage and strengthen yourself in the Lord. And there are other scriptures then begin to work. And so one might say, well, I'm never going to believe again in that kind of thing. I'll just believe in inner strength. No, you can't do that either. No, no. That's another temptation that, you know, to play it safe. That's what most Christians have done. They just say, well, let it be God's will. They don't like to stand and then maybe have it not come through. That's always the scary thing. You pray for someone, and then maybe it won't manifest right away. You know, I mean, when I pray, I want it always to manifest, you know. Then I feel good. I don't like the idea that I can't make God countable, you know. I don't like it that he's not real dependable in the way that I want him to be, because I got some ideas, you know, how it should be. But you see, God doesn't always come through the way we want him to be. And then sometimes, you see, there's a long run when he just comes through all the time. And you begin to think, well, that's the way he's always going to do it. And then he changes. Hello? Hello? Can you say amen? Amen. This is confusing to the body of Christ. But I tell you, you cannot find one person who has a 100% record out there. Hello? So it seems like every time that person, well, just give it a little time. You know, just rejoice in it. Praise God. Don't criticize it or say, well, but, you know, praise God. Glory to God. There are times in my life when everything I've done, it seems like God's with it. And then there are other times when it seems like nothing. Hello, have you ever experienced that? It seems like every time you send a prayer up, it hits the ceiling and, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. And then it fishes around the ceiling and falls on the ground. It doesn't seem to penetrate, you know, find a little hole and get up. Other times it seems to go straight up to heaven and come straight down. And, you know, in those moments, I'm beginning to think, wow, you know, there's nothing that God won't do. Well, that's what the Bible says. But I'm thinking it's because he answered my prayer that proves it. We don't understand God fully. But I tell you, our hope won't disappoint us. Keep strengthening yourself. Just get up again. Don't worry about a full understanding. I don't fully understand God, nor does anyone. Paul said that our knowledge is not perfect. I don't believe anyone has perfect knowledge about any given thing of God. I think the mystery of God is that the Jew and Gentile brought together, there's no questions there. But some of these other things, we don't fully grasp everything, but we don't need to. I don't think it's important. I think all that's important is if someone's sick, you pray for them. If someone is dying, there was no scripture that said, just don't pray for your dad, let him die. There wasn't any scriptures to that effect. So I had no right to give up. But then when it was over, and we called him back and so on, and he didn't come back, then it's not a matter of, spanking ourselves or worrying about it and so on. Just get up and rejoice. And before I left, praise the Lord, after Dad died, guy called up and he had a scripture that strengthened me. And it wasn't the kind of scripture I was looking for. But it strengthened me. As I listened to it, I knew, thus saith the Lord God. And I had a peace about me. Didn't mean I understood it all yet. I still had a lot of questions for God. But there was a peace that just told me, everything's all right. You haven't lost out. You didn't somehow miss God in a big way. It's just you don't understand fully. But what you did was fine. It wasn't like God was saying, you shouldn't have prayed. You shouldn't have believed. We need strength in times of trouble. And God is the strength of His people. By the way, Romans 5 says that as well. Glory in your tribulations. Anybody ever glory in tribulations? Glory to God. You see, you're not glorying that you're down. You're glorying in God who's with you in the midst of that to bring forth glory, to bring forth something good out of it. The sickness is not good. The death is not good. That's not what's good. What's good is that God is with you in that, and He is going to strengthen your character, and He's going to bring you through, and your hope will not disappoint you. Glory in your tribulations. Paul wasn't saying, I'm glad I'm here. Paul didn't want to be there. But Paul was saying, God is working out something glorious here, and I don't want to miss it, so don't get upset, folks. I asked Him 87,000 times the first day I was here to get me out of this place. I said to Him many times, I don't want to be here, God, and I know it's not Your will. And I tried to get myself out. I now believe that God wants me to stay here. It isn't like I'm saying this is the best place to be. It's like I'm saying, I don't understand, but I know one thing. This is all right. It's working out to the glory of God. Don't anybody get upset, because that's what I see you doing is getting upset. Just don't get upset. Keep praying for my release, but don't get upset. Just keep enduring. Keep rejoicing. Don't give up, but don't get upset. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't get angry. Keep going. For this cause I bow my knees unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. Now listen to this. This is the key verse. Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm praying, Paul says, for you, that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, that you would be strengthened on the inside. Now look, let's just make that simple. When you're discouraged, you don't feel strong. When you feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm saved, or I don't know if God's for me, or you're weakened, that's when you need to be strengthened by these riches of glory that God has to say, don't worry about it. Everything is going your way. Yeah, but I don't think I have a good theology. I don't think I understand this. I wish I had better understanding. You don't need to have any better understanding. Have this mind, that God is for you, that your sins have been forgiven, that God is with you, that God will strengthen you. Rejoice. Keep going. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord. The people began to read the law and they began to cry, and Ezra the scribe said, tell them that God says to rejoice because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, you don't have any cause ever. You don't have any cause ever to not rejoice. You don't have any cause ever to, I'm not saying you can't cry. I'm not saying at times you can't weep. I'm not even saying you can't at times express anger. What I am saying is don't let that ever take away your joy. Don't let that ever take away that deep joy that you have. that somehow, I don't know why, and you might be in the midst of crying in that moment. You might be torn apart, sort of emotionally. But deep down, there's a substrata. There's the everlasting arms of God. There's that joy unspeakable and full of glory that Peter talks about when he talks about the trial and the testing of your faith in the first chapter of 1 Peter, the 7th verse. He said, this is all coming upon you to test your faith, to produce character in you, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. This is what He has. This is the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's not some bright lights and you know, sometimes when you think of the glory of God, you think of God sitting on a throne and lights booming out and lightnings, you know, and that's the glory of God somehow, or some miracles that He does. The glory of God is to strengthen you in the inner man by His Spirit. That's the glory of God. The glory of God, the doxa of God, the light of God, the glory of God is the love of God that goes to you to strengthen you, to encourage you, to say, rejoice. Everything's going your way. Everything's going to work out in the end. And it's working out for you now. Have faith. You just don't see it. You don't understand it. But it's actually working on your behalf right now. This is to the glory of God. That's the glory of God. It isn't the glory that God has. It's the glory that God gives. This is the strength of God. It isn't the strength that God has to do things. It's the strength that He gives to you. It's the strength that He shares. The Lord is my strength and my shield. You see, all of the scriptures talk about the might and power of God, the strength of God. But when they do, they always apply it to us. That His strength is for me. It's on my behalf. It's on my side. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is strengthening me. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, verse 16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now here it is. This is the explanation of it, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ, what is the strength? It's the Spirit. Well, what is the Spirit? It's revealing Christ in your hearts. That's all. It's the indwelling Christ is my strength. My mom can rejoice because Jesus Christ actually lives in her and she knows it. And you know, I saw her battled by every doubt and question and so on, and I saw her defeat one after another. I saw her put on the armor of God. I saw her stand in the evil day. I saw her being strengthened in the strength of the Lord and in the strength of His might. I saw that she had Ephesians 6:10 working on her behalf. I saw that she was strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Because in situation after situation that would throw a normal person, she was strong. Now, I knew there was no way one could do that. The tears would come to my eyes as I would realize, how can mom do this? I couldn't do it. In the natural. There's no strength inside of me naturally that could do that. It has to be supernatural strength. And I rejoiced on the inside as I saw mom enduring through a situation that was a great trial to her. Now, there are trials coming in everyone's life. There are trials that we've had in the past. But there is a trial that is coming on the earth. And it will have many pre-trials, you might say. It will shake the nation. And I have prophesied to you, and you know, I have a prophetic side to me that you don't really want to share in the pulpit. In the pulpit, you want to be more parables and just, you know, tell things that apply to people's daily lives. But I tell you, there is a day coming when we will not be able to separate those two. And when the prophetic message must come forth, this is not the hour, this is not the time, but there's a prophetic message that must say, this is what God is about to do. And therefore, you need an additional kind of strength. Not just the parable kind of strength that is good enough for your daily life, but something that is going to come upon the whole world to try this world, and so that the sons of light may shine forth in glorious array. I know most of us still haven't gotten that into our heads because we're still more interested in the personal lives. We just have to get through some of those personal things. But there's coming a day when God is bringing forth His bride like splendor, that He may present this bride before Himself, spotless and without wrinkle. Not just on an individual basis, but corporately before the world. Not just on a congregational basis, but corporately before the world. Not just on a national basis, but throughout the world. The body of Christ is going to be displayed before this world in a powerful and magnificent way. And I see the pieces being put together. I hear the prophetic word of God. It's something that cannot be shared. But there is a day and an hour when it will be spoken forth. and it will be spoken forth clearly. It's like the disciple said to him, ah, now you're not speaking in parables. You're telling us plainly of the Father. There is an hour coming when we must share those words, which normally people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear about those things. They're not popular. They're not conducive to rejoicing. But I tell you, if you learn the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord right now, those things strengthen you. They don't frighten you. They just encourage you. They strengthen you in the inner man, through the Spirit, Christ dwelling in you, to say, yes, Lord, for this we live. For this history was made. This is why we're on this earth. Not simply to endure, not simply to, you know, to take care of my daily wants, but to testify of the glory of God before the prince of this world, before the people that are in darkness in this world, who need to know the power of Almighty God, not only individually, but also cosmically, that is corporately, that is on an international, on a wide scale throughout this universe, that Christians are the power of God. They are the strength of God. They are the might of God. They are the glory of God. You see, you don't understand who you are. You are more than who you think you are. You are the very power of God. You are the very dwelling place of God. You are the very temple of the living God. You are, in fact, God's body. God doesn't have another kind of body up there. You won't see him someday sitting in a chair with arms and legs. You are the arms and legs of God. You are the very body of God. You are the power of God. You are the voice of God. You see, God is displaying himself in a way that no one ever heard of that. We don't know what God is. He's up there somewhere. But no one ever heard of a God that joined himself to men. Feeble, sinful, frail, creaturely men. This God has done that. This is the mystery that was hidden for ages. That God would unite himself with man, not only his Jewish chosen, not only some elite caste group, but all men equally. That whosoever will may come. And I'll tell you, there are many out there today watching on television who haven't yet made a personal relationship to this living God. There are some of you listening by radio. You've never personally said to God. It's not what goes on in your head. It's what you say with your mouth. What you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, why do I have to say that? To express what's in your heart. Your heart overflows in words to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want him to come into my heart, into my life. Listen to Paul. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that's the base, the ground, that's who God is love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, can't be understood, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. Oh, what a great God we have. You see, there's nothing that God won't do. He's only looking for us. Oh, I tell you, there are so many scriptures I wish I could share with you this morning. But he's looking for us to come and to be renewed in strength like the eagles, as it says in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. That we would have the strength of God to say, when my strength runs out, I want the strength of God. I need the strength of God. Where is strength? Strength is made perfect in weakness. You say, how do I qualify for strength? Be weak. He who has no strength is a candidate for strength. If you already have strength, then you only need a little bit of strength. And God never gives a little bit. God always gives all. God wants to display all that he has to us. He doesn't want to just give you a little help. Oh, I see you need a little encouragement, a little help. God wants to give you himself. God never comes in piecemeal. Here, you need a fingernail worth. God wants to come totally into you, to dwell in you, because you have no hope, no help. There is nothing in us. And we were made to be vessels of this living God to contain this treasure. And people look at us and they consider us to be feeble and weak. But God actually has a desire to fill us with the glory of God. We're going to say goodbye to our radio congregation, our television congregation at this time. We want to call you now to make a personal confession to Jesus Christ. Lord, I need the strength of God. First of all, he is the saving strength of His people. That is, God wants to save people. That's the first thing about God. Second of all, in any situation in which you're in, God wants to rejoice you. God wants to not only give you the joy of salvation, but He wants to give you the joy of daily and continual deliverance, to be with you continually. That is how the Lord strengthens us. The first and most important is that He wants to come into your hearts. If you have never received the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we go over this every Sunday, but it's important to, not simply because there might be someone that walks in off the street who's never heard this message before, but also because there are many sitting here who may think they're Christians, but as they listen to the message, something says, you know, I haven't quite had it. And I'm not certain that if I died right now, that I would have the strength to endure before God, that I would have the strength to make it if something happened. And that you need to come to that knowledge, that you need to say, you know, Lord, that's me you're talking about, Pastor. I believe the Holy Spirit had you say that to quicken to me. And I've been a church member for years. I've been in the church. Let's all close our eyes right now and bow our heads. I want you to consider before God today, if there's anyone here, we don't want to leave this place today without the strength of the Lord, without the saving strength of the Lord, and without that daily, continual, delivering strength of the Lord, that strength that enables you to endure, that strength that enables you to overcome, that strength that enables you to rejoice in all circumstances and to endure unto the end with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Pastor, I need that saving strength. Thank you, sister. I need that saving strength. I need to be born again. I need to be born again. I need that saving strength. I want to have a personal relationship. I want to say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Wash them away. Strengthen me now with your own life. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Now there are others of you. I want others of you right now to raise your hands. If you just feel, Lord, I've gone in my own strength. I haven't just said, Lord, I need strength. I need your strength every hour. I need thee every hour. I need thee every minute. That's me. You're talking to me. I need that. Just raise your hand right now if that's you. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, we just rejoice that every day you come to us. Every day you come to us to strengthen us anew. And that this morning you would strengthen these who have come before you sincerely. They've heard your word. They have believed your word. They require your strength. And I just thank you, Lord God, right now, as these persons come forward, I want all of you to come forward right now. We're going to pray with you. Everyone, just please slip out of the aisle and come on down to the front. We're going to pray with you right now. We have one right here this morning that requires salvation. Oh, I just thank you. There's more joy in heaven over one that turns to the Lord and says, oh, Lord, I need that strength. I want that strength. Let's just close our eyes right now. Just close our eyes and begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. And the rest of you come down and let's pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that there is nothing too great for you. That we need strength, Lord God, to make it day to day. We need strength to make it through these end times. We need strength to make it into heaven. We need your strength, Lord God. We don't have the strength. We don't have the might, the power. But according to your riches in glory, that you would strengthen us in the inner man by faith in Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of the living God, through the indwelling Christ, who would be our strength. We need your life. We desire your life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are now going to give us all the strength that we need. We need a body. We need a church that's strong. Strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's able to stand in the evil day. That's able to put on the armor of God every day. And stand against the wiles of the enemy. Stand against the trials, temptations, troubles that come to us. We can do it, Lord. We can do it because you are our strength. You are our sword. You are our shield. Hallelujah. Oh God, we love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh Lord God. Hallelujah. Nothing is too great. Nothing is too big. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Lord, let no one leave today without the strength of God going through their lives, their souls, enabling them, Lord God, to face whatever they have to face with boldness, with confidence, with assurance that their salvation has been purchased, that they cannot lose, that nothing can ever throw them, that nothing is able, no weapon that's fashioned against them can prevail, that every voice that threatens us will be silenced. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, that this church is going to be strengthened in every way by the power and strength of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.